Joy for us to be able to see so many children in our midst. Thank God for them. They are our treasures. Thank you for your prayers for me during the weekends, last weekends. And I was able to visit Ebenezer BP Church, and I arrived at the campsite around 10 p.m. on Saturday night, and my first was delivered at 10 p.m. on Saturday night. So it was a really blessed time of sharing God's word with those individuals at the camp, and it was really a very precious experience even on my part. From the previous passage we studied, from the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, we studied about the governor Pilate a few weeks ago. We have learned that the Jews disliked him, if not hated him very much, because of a few incidents that infuriated the Jews, including an attempt, Pilate's attempt, to bring golden shields with the emperor's name engraved and a murderous act of killing a few worshippers while they were offering their sacrifices unto God. His character, Pilate's character, has been known to us as a corrupt, violent, and cruel. And as a judge, he was able to face the Lord face to face and could not find any fault from him. Pilate, being a judge over the case of Jesus, was in the position that he really did not want to be. He did not want to be the judge over Jesus' case. Thus, he sent him to Herod at one stage, but he could not avoid the situation to be a judge over the case, including Jesus. He acted on his best judgment initially that he was hoping to release Jesus from the court. Though the Jews conspired to seal the death sentence against Jesus by accusing him of a crime of treason against Caesar, Pilate was not able to find any offense or problem with Jesus, with an attitude that, as for him, there was no problem with Jesus. Though Jesus claimed himself as the king of the Jews, or at least that was the claim brought to him against Jesus by the Jews. Jesus helped Pilate understand that his kingship was not earthly but heavenly, if that is the case. As for Pilate, as the governor of the Roman Empire, such a claim must belong to the realm of faith and religion, and he was not interested in such a matter. He was not interested in religious affairs amongst the Jews unless there was any political motives. However, that was the claim probably the Jews hated the most, the religious claim of Jesus. He was the king of the Jews. They could not see Jesus as the Messiah of the Jewish people. They found Jesus as a blasphemous person who was worthy of death. They wanted to kill Jesus. In a way, I must be very much sympathetic with the governor Pilate. He was not an active accuser. He was not an eager accomplice in the plot of killing Jesus. However, he was at that time in such a position that required him to make a verdict over Jesus one way or another. He was not a willing judge to hand down a death sentence to Jesus, but his office demanded and required him to do something about the case. When we serve the Lord and follow Him, there are times when we have to take actions one way or another, regardless of our personal preferences or personal choices. Such times are the times of tests of our character, of our integrity, and our spirituality. It is a time when our character plays a very important role. What we see from Pilate is that his character is not to be envied, for sure. His character caused him to be concerned about political expediency than justice and equity at the trial of Jesus. He did not like to let Jesus crucified, but he did it anyway. That was his character. He did what he did not like to do, but it was he, after all, who made this decision of death sentence upon Jesus. He had the power to choose the penalty, and he should have chosen what was right with that power. Often we do the same thing. For the sake of convenience, For the sake of expediency, we allow ourselves to do what is not right. However, what we need to do is to do right, though the sky and heaven comes down upon us to crush us. We may be in situations that demand us to make choices and decisions, whether we like it or not. I must remind all of you that the Jews, not Pilate, were the accusers of Jesus. What they did was illegal, and what they demanded was sinful. However, Pilate could not escape from his guilt of condemning Jesus to the cross. We may not intend to sin, but we may be pushed into certain circumstances in which we have to make crucial and critical choices, and these choices will make us responsible. Pilate appears as a vacillating, compromising individual, more concerned with political expediency than with equity at the trial of Jesus. His actions may justly be condemned because he acted against his own conscience and also against what was morally and ethically right and correct. Today we are going to study about Pilate's judgment over Jesus. And finally, he is handing down his verdict upon Jesus. In verses 15 to 18 in Matthew chapter 27, we know that Pilate was seeking for opportunities to release Jesus. In verse 15, would you like to read from verse 15 to verse 18, chapter 27 in the Gospel of Matthew? Let's read it together. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had... gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Amen. First of all, it was a time of the feast. And which feast are we talking about? Well, in fact, John chapter 18, verse 39 says, But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? It was the time of the feast. It is interesting to note that Pilate wanted to use the occasion of Passover to deal with the Jesus case. We know that there were not too many people initially when the members of the Sanhedrin brought their prisoner Jesus to Pilate. However, in due course, Jerusalem began to be crowded with people to celebrate the Passover, and they were coming basically from a lot of countries all over the world. Pilate saw it as an opportunity to go directly to the people in general, instead of dealing with the religious leaders alone. He must have thought that the general public might be more lenient, more gentler and kinder, and more sensible toward Jesus, and Jesus might have some chances to be released because of his popularity amongst the people. And also, it was a time of feast after all, Passover. They were released from the bondage of the slavery in Egypt. Therefore, they could be even more hospitable and kinder than any other times to the people in trouble. Pilate wanted to use the time, opportunity well. There was a custom for the occasion to release one prisoner. Pilate says, Ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Definitely, it was not a Roman custom, but the Jews. The custom of releasing a prisoner at Passover is not attested elsewhere, but there is nothing inherently unlikely about it. You know, oftentimes we hear about presidential pardons in different countries. Of course, the meaning is a bit different, but at least there is a person in the office who has power to release certain prisoners from their bondages. This custom allows the governor to release one prisoner. It appears that the choice of the prisoner to be released lay with the people. That is an interesting part. It was not a governor within the governor's authority at this time, but actually this authority was passed on to the people in general. Mark chapter 15, verse 6 says, Now at that feast, She released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. It was not Pilate desired, but they, the people, desired. Matthew 27, verse 15 says the same thing. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. It means that the governor was accustomed or used to release a prisoner during the feast at the will of the people. Pilate must have fully misjudged the level of hatred that the people had against Jesus, probably when he was trying to make a deal with the people. The fact that he named the name of Jesus as a potentially releasable candidate for the feast indicates that Jesus was treated already like a prisoner without a court sentence. Sentence was not made. He was not pronounced to be guilty yet, but he was named as a potential candidate to be released. If Jesus were considered to be a free man, Pilate did not have to bring the name of Jesus to be one of the choices the people would consider to release. The verdict was already made unofficially, both in his mind and the minds of the Jews, in a way. So already Pilate seemed to have yielded his decision to the decision of the people. Jesus was a prisoner without a verdict. He was guilty without a guilt. Pilate must not have fully understood the depth of hatred that the Jews had against Jesus. Or at least, he must have underestimated the power of persuasion and mass psychology. This is an interesting part. Thus, he must have thought that reason might prevail and the people would choose Jesus. Jesus was still on trials and uncondemned. He was an innocent person. Therefore, all reasonable people would choose Jesus to be released. With such a hope, he named another person, prisoner, Barabbas. Barabbas means son of the father, or son of Abba. Some have found an interesting comparison between Barabbas and Jesus, because Barabbas is obviously a son of a father, maybe small letters, a son, small s, father, small f. However, we know that Jesus is the son of the Father, both capital letters. The first one was released and the other was condemned. Barabbas was a dangerous person. Mark chapter 15 verse 7 says, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in this insurrection." There were many reasons that people would not choose Barabbas over Jesus. Insurrection or riot indicates that he was against the Roman authorities. He was a rebel. Therefore, Roman governor was not expected to show any favor to such a person. Besides, people would not wrongly impress upon the heart of the governor that they wanted the rebel to be released. After all, did they not accuse Jesus for treason against Rome and Caesar? They were not in position to ask the governor to release a rebel. Besides, Barabbas also committed murder. It is very possible that murder took place during the time of riots or insurrection. Luke chapter 23 verses 18 and 19 give us a clearer picture about Barabbas. Luke chapter 23 verse 18, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." So we know for sure that Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas was a notable prisoner according to Matthew 27 verse 16. The Greek word for notable could also mean well known. However, this word also means notorious. It could mean both that he was famous because of his revolt against Rome. Amongst the Jews, he was famous, and that he was literally a notorious person in character. Pilate's misjudgment was neither uncommon nor extraordinary. Having considered all things, we could conclude that Barabbas was a member of the resistance movement against Rome. It could be possible that that was the reason why the Jews preferred Barabbas. However, it was a very difficult choice even for the Jews, including the chief priests, to make, because they accused Jesus for a crime of treason, which was the same crime that Barabbas committed against Rome. From Pilate's point of view, they would not ask the release of Barabbas, because that is so illogical, that is so unreasonable. And besides that, Jesus was not condemned yet, while Barabbas was already in prison, a condemned offender. Pilate could not see any reason why the Jews would want Barabbas instead of Jesus if their crimes were the same. Especially if they were so adamant to condemn Jesus for the suggested crime of treason, they should have loved him even more instead of shunning him away. If Jesus was a rebel against Rome, and we also understand that the Jews hated Romans, then they should have loved Jesus even more. Pilate saw the main reason of the Jews' hatred of Jesus as envy in Matthew 27, verse 18. After all, it was envy that caused them to fill their hearts with hatred and animosity against Jesus. As we studied before, envy is the most dangerous sin we can think of. Maybe Pilate underestimated the power of envy. Here we can find a couple of interesting lessons we may learn. Religion does not remove sin. The chief priests were behind the plot of murdering Jesus. People didn't have any idea about Jesus yet. When sin blinds the minds of religious people, their religion cannot save them. Even if the religion itself is the right kind of religion, they must cling to. We see the detrimental effect of the combination of envy and spirituality, or envy and religion. Let us be reminded once again that the people who wanted to crucify Jesus were not humanists, were not atheists, were not the blasphemers of God, but they were God-fearing people. They called upon the name of God, and they were the ones who wanted to kill Jesus. They were not secular people, but religiously pious people who wanted to defend the honor of God from Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God. And they were the ones who kept and maintained Jerusalem temple. When religious pietism and envy met together, there was the ugliest appearance of humanity, the full strength of depravity and corruption. This depravity was not even found in the worldly, cruel, and vicious Roman governor, Pilate. Roman governor, this evil man was able to see Jesus as an innocent being. But a religiously charged and motivated, a pious, so-called spiritual people serving God in God's temple in Jerusalem, their hearts were filled with hatred and filled with sin, depravity. Pilate made efforts to rescue Jesus from the hands of the Jewish pious zealots. This is one simple example that religion alone does not rescue people from their depravity, and that wrong religions or a right religion in wrong character can bring forth cruel, harsh, evil, and murderous consequences. Remember that your confession of faith alone will not rescue you from the sin of envy and other offenses. Sin in the hands of the religiously pious zealots could be the most dangerous sin. Though Pilate sought for opportunities to release Jesus, he failed. Then from verse 19 to verse 23 in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, we know that Pilate cautioned and he was cautioned. From 19 to 23. Pilate officially began his judicial duties by sitting on the judgment seat in verse 19. The crowd before him must be increasing too, and that did not help his composure. He was pressurized more and more to make a decision. He could not delay to judge the case. For sure, he was a very much reluctant judge, because he knew that the Jews accused Jesus because of envy in verse 18. And also he knew that Jesus was a just man in verse 24. However, he was in dilemma to hand down a verdict against him due to unrest in the crowd. He had put his offers on the table for the Jews and had to wait for their decision. Will they want Jesus or Barabbas? Who do you want? The release of a prisoner must be a political plot to ease the tension occasionally between the governor and the governed Jews. Interestingly, the choice was laid with the people. Pilate must have felt safe in suggesting to the throng that he release Jesus, particularly because he was sure that the opposition to him was due largely to the envy of the leaders and did not affect the rank and file. At least that was what he was thinking. Faced with the choice between Jesus and Barabbas, the crowd faltered momentarily. Acting quickly and adroitly, the chief priest infiltrated the company, urging them to ask for the release of Barabbas. Matthew 27 verse 20 says, "But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus." It must be a different conclusion from the one Pilate was secretly hoping for. The envious religious leaders coerced and convinced that Jesus must be destroyed. And how easily general public, the crowd, can be misled. Misguided. Just a few chief religious figures' persuasion made them change their hearts. Pilate saw the fickleness of the multitude and the religious politics here. It was religious politics. If I begin with a small conclusion of this section, I must warn you the danger of trusting in men and church politics. What did people know about Jesus? Why did they demand Pilate to crucify Jesus? Think about it. I'm not sure of the kind of people mentioned in the passage, but we can think of two kinds of people here. If they were the Jews in Judea, they must have changed their minds very quickly, because we know that even in the previous times, they were trying to kill Jesus. They wanted to harm and hurt Jesus in many ways, but they were not able to do it. Do you know why they were not able to do it? Because they feared the people. Because people liked Jesus. He was very popular amongst the people. That's why the chief priests and elders were not able to harm Jesus up until that time. People liked Jesus and followed him. Then why did they change their minds so quickly? It did not take much time for them from following him to murdering him. Man is not trustworthy. If there were people from other countries to celebrate the Passover, then what did they know anything about Jesus? They just heard the hearsays and made such a cruel judgment to crucify Jesus. Their simple audacity is found in that they were willing to crucify someone whom they did not really know much about, because they just came from the overseas or from other countries. They never saw Jesus before, and they heard about Jesus, and now they were persuaded by the chief priests and elders, and they wanted to crucify Jesus. It is a general nature of mankind. People may be with us today, and they may be against us with hatred tomorrow. Because of such nature of men, often politics produce immediate results. So that's why in the seminaries and Bible colleges, oftentimes preacher boys are taught by their professors or senior ministers that in their ministry, their focus must be always on God, not on man. It is really true. As verse 20 says, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude to ask Pilate to release Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. The chief priests and elders persuade the multitude to ask Pilate to release Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. They used, in fact, double wax here. On the one hand, they persuaded the people to release the criminal. On the other hand, to destroy Jesus. That was not what Pilate was asking them to do. What Pilate told them was to decide who should be released. But they came back to him with double requests. One is going to be released and one is going to be destroyed. So their demand was added. One more demand was added to Pilate. It is the power of politics. The chief priests and elders persuaded the people to do something for them. So they did, the chief priests and elders, what they did was to go to the people, convince them. Behind the scene, they were working with those individuals within the crowd, and as a result, the crowd was totally turned over to their side. The chief priests and elders used the multitude of people to do what they desired to do. So at first, they seemed to be very innocent. We did not demand it. It is people's demand, don't you see it? So externally, outwardly, they look very guiltless and innocent. They are simply religious people. They just shared their views with the crowd. And after all, it was the crowd who chose Jesus to be crucified and Barabbas to be released. That's what politicians are doing. And very unfortunately, in many churches, such church politics do exist. And in fact, during the week, I got a phone call from a minister somewhere. A minister told me about certain issues within its church. And again, it's a grouping, divisions, calling for their own kinds of people to be clicked together so that they could bring problems to the church, church politics. As a pastor, as I look at my own congregation, you know, I can accept errors. We can make errors. We can make mistakes. But if there is any politics which divides the body of believers, that is not something that I can tolerate. We'll never do that. Because always the main figures stay behind and they look beautiful and innocent and spiritual. But others are taking actions to cause all those effects. That is not right. That is what the chief priests and elders did on that day. Pilate's offer to them was to choose one of the two for release. But the people came back with two demands, the release of Barabbas and the crucifixion of Jesus. The chief priests and elders played politics without the true religion of God, but in the name of God. Or rather, politics within religion showed its invisible power in the minds of the people. They are controlling the opinions of the people. They were able to persuade the people to follow their suggestions because, after all, they are religious figures and they are talking about pious and religious matters, about God. It made their persuasion even more dangerous and even more evil. It is also the danger of the church politics. Peter said of it in Acts chapter 3, verse 14. Would you like to read it? What is the result or consequence or effect of those religious politics amongst the Jews at the time? Acts 3:14. Let's read it. But ye deny the Holy One and the just, and desire the murderer to be granted unto you. Amen. People who came to Jerusalem were the people who wanted to celebrate They are released from the bondage of the slavery in Egypt to give thanks and praise unto God. So they were religious people, spiritual people, and they were required to come to Jerusalem three times at least a year. And this is one of those required occasions for them to come to Jerusalem to present themselves to worship God. So their motive was right. They wanted to worship God. They wanted to obey God's command. However, what they did through this persuasive religious politics was, in as you can find from Acts 3:14, he denied the Holy One and the Just and desired the murderer to be granted unto you. Can we see the power of politics in the name of God? Genuinely motivated people to worship God in Jerusalem were persuaded by few individuals in that religion, and they deny the Holy and Just One, and they desired a murder. That is the power of church politics. The Jews desired a murderer than Jesus in the name of their religious conviction. I wonder what would have happened. What would have happened to the opinion polls among the people if there was no persuasion from the chief priests and elders on that day? If there is no persuasion coming from the chief priests and elders, and they, people, were genuinely given an opportunity to make a choice between Barabbas and Jesus, I wonder which one was to be released. It did not take much time to make the hesitant and not so confident people become a group of fanatics to shout for Christ's crucifixion. People in Jerusalem on that day came to worship God in Jerusalem. And within a few days, or within just actually a couple of days, they became all religious fanatics who were shouting toward Pilate to crucify Jesus. Crucify him. This is the power of politics with propaganda. Populist and propagandists. And in our Christian community, we'll never allow such a thing. We have to understand that the verdict of crucifixion was a product of religious zeal. Remember that even religion and religious zeal could harm the innocent. That's why we must be biblically grounded believers. Biblically grounded believers. And the following is important. Whose characters are conformed to the image of Christ. There are a lot of people who have knowledge, head knowledge, whose characters are not conformed to the image of Christ. And so, the chief priests and elders, their head knowledge was far superior to anybody. However, their characters were not obviously after the image of Christ. Pilate could see the contradiction in their recommendations. So recommendations were brought to him. People demanded him to crucify Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 23, even on the vague charge against him. This is what happens when religion is combined with hatred and envy. You know, probably some of you may think about your own workplace politics, how much troubles you have been, and how much troubles you have experienced. And here, when religion is combined with hatred and envy, it becomes so unreasonable, illogical religion or conviction. People demanded him to be a proven offender against Rome, who was a rebel and murderer. The perversion of the people was very obvious. There was no consistency in their demands because malignity in their hearts had blinded their minds. When sin overshadows and overclouds our minds, we cannot see what we should be able to see and cannot hear what we should be able to hear. So only those ones who have ears to hear will be able to hear. Pilate himself challenged their judgment against Jesus in verses 22 and 23. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do Then with Jesus, which is called Christ, you chose Barabbas. Then what shall I do with Jesus? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. That is mass psychology, misled by populists and propagandists. Pilate could not find any evil in Jesus. With his vicious and evil pagan's eyes, Jesus was innocent, guiltless. But to these religiously charged people, Jesus was worthy of crucifixion. People cried out even more to demand the crucifixion of Jesus. Their minds became irrational. Pilate was aware of the wrongs of their demands. Pilate's wife pleaded with him not to do anything against Jesus. His wife sent him a message not to do anything against Jesus. Then he says, the just man. Somehow, an aristocratic Roman lady interceded on behalf of a Galilean peasant before her husband. We do not know what kind of dream she had. She had suffered many things for Jesus in her dream, and we do not know what kind of sufferings she is talking about. However, somehow, this dream impressed upon her very deeply, and she felt that her dream had some significance. Her pleas with Pilate's own uneasiness must have made him even more uneasy to deal with the Jews over Jesus than ever before. His constant sharing with the Jews was in John chapter 19, verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Pilate's lenient attitude toward Jesus even infuriated the people more and shouted to him, crucify him, and crucify him. When men are overpowered by the power of sin, this is what happens. And in verses 24 and 25, finally, Pilate gave a verdict. Pilate could not withstand their demands anymore. He must be really disgusted with this wretched event. He knew that Jesus was innocent, but the Jews demanded him to crucify him. So in Matthew chapter 27, verse 23b, they said, let him be crucified. And Pilate realized that he would have to do something even against his own conscience, because demand was so powerful and so strong. He knew that he could not change the minds of the people. Verse 24 says that he could prevail nothing. It means that he could not gain or accomplish anything. He could not change their minds. There was no more point for him to keep defending Jesus before the Jews. They would not be persuaded. He saw a danger of even tumult among the Jews. Tumult could mean uproar or riot. There could be public disorder which could jeopardize his governance in the country. He was to answer the emperor for such riots. Pilate judged Jesus by handing over jurisdiction to the Jews. He said in verse 24b, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. Can you see his confession? I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. And John 19 verse 6 says, when the chief priests therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. What we see from these verses is not something that we can hear or we can see from a judge. Pilate declared as a judge that Jesus was a just person. He was an innocent person. Then also, Pilate declared that he did not find any fault in Jesus. He was guiltless. And it was the people, after all, who decided the sentence upon Jesus. It was not Pilate. He permitted them to do whatever they wanted to do. When the chief priests and officers saw Jesus, they began to cry out like a group of hypnotized people with madness of mind, "Crucify him, crucify him." Those people who were to be genuine worshippers of God, God of religion, God of Judaism in the temple during the time of the feast of Passover, they became mad people. The people in the highest ranks of Judaism and their servants were screaming at Jesus and Pilate. There was no appearance of any sense of dignity in them. These people became only bloodthirsty people. When they came to Jerusalem, they were not like this. But when they were persuaded and convinced by the chief priests and elders, they became bloodthirsty people. Extremely pious and godly professing believers today could be persuaded to become bloodthirsty people tomorrow if they do not discern. They were only bloodthirsty people who would not be satisfied until the last drop of his blood was shed. Let him be crucified. Thus Pilate invited the Jews to take Jesus and crucify him. In John 19:6b, "Take ye him and crucify him." Pilate found, in a way, double solutions. One, it is to hand Jesus over to the Jews to do whatever they wanted to do with him. Two, it is to assault his inability to find any cause to death in Jesus. Thus he was claiming his innocence over the case of Jesus. "I am just letting you do whatever you want to do, but I want you to know that it is not my decision for him to be crucified. Therefore, I am innocent. I cannot find any guilt from him." Pilate claimed their accountability. He said to the Jews in Matthew 27, verse 24, "Be, see to it." In fact, the phrase "see to it" means "see to it yourselves." Or if we paraphrase it a little bit, it means "it is your responsibility." That's the meaning of it, as NIV says. The Jews were ready to accept the challenge. From their standpoint, Jesus was worthy of death. Only when they were allowed to take actions against Jesus by the governor, they finally revealed the real charge they had laid on him in John 19, verse 7. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Jesus had been guilty of a blasphemy in their eyes. He had made himself the Son of God. In that outburst, Pilate's suspicions were, of course, confirmed. The prisoner Jesus was not at all a menace to the state, Roman Empire. Pilate claimed his innocence. Having known the real charge that they had laid on Jesus, Pilate was even more fearful. So John 19, verse 8, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid." John 19, 14 and 15 says this, "And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar." So when people chose Barabbas to be released, then crucified Jesus, the final answer came to Pilate from the chief priests themselves, because they were the instigators who were playing a game behind the scene. They used the crowd for their own purposes. What a confession from the representatives of the covenant nation. "We have no king but Caesar." They hated Caesar before, but their hatred for Jesus was bigger than their hatred for Caesar's. "So we have no king but Caesar." Pilate testified of his innocence with words, and he demonstrated it by washing his hands with water. To this extent, he was convinced that Jesus was innocent and the Jews were wrong. Thus, he did not want to be responsible for what the Jews were going to do. An amazing thing is this. When people become blind with sins and guilt, the Jews accepted the responsibility. Pilate said, "It's not my fault, it's your fault. It is not my responsibility, but it is your responsibility to kill, to crucify Jesus. It is your responsibility." Well, Matthew 27, verse 25 says, would you like to read it? Matthew 27, verse 25. Let's read it together. "Then answer all the people." Amen. Did you hear that? Their boldness shows a few twists on their spirituality and even mental state. Their response shows that they did not consider Pilate's view of Jesus, that he was an innocent person. And probably they trusted in their conscience. Can you see that conscience can be sometimes blinded and clouded and perverted? Based on their clear conscience, they said Jesus must be crucified. And that crucifixion is our fault, is our responsibility, and our children will be responsible for it too. Do you think they did it because of conviction? Be careful what your convictions can do. With their conviction, they killed Jesus. They chose the murderer, and they rejected the holy and just one. When people came to Jerusalem, they were not people like this. But in Jerusalem, within a few hours, within a couple of days, they became people like this. They were so confident in their judgment that they wouldn't mind saying that his blood be on them. Audacious and bold confession does not have anything to do with its validity. They were in confidence, shouting at Pilate, "His blood be upon us." So bold and courageous. But their audacity and boldness and courage really doesn't mean anything. Simply, they were audaciously sinful and wicked. It is more than possible that people are wrongly confident. They must be completely sold out to the propaganda strategy of the chief priests and elders, even to bring their children into this fateful controversy. His blood be on us and on our children. After all, the chief priests were the experts of religious affairs, especially concerning the coming Messiah. How could they not recognize the Messiah? The crowd followed them and fell into thorough destruction, and they also brought their children into this destruction. They were happy to relieve Pilate of his responsibility of condemning Jesus to be crucified. Instead, they were more than happy to take up the responsibility upon themselves. What an amazing irony it is that religious passion comes not only from the love of truth, but also from spiritual ignorance and depravity, sinful passion for religion. The mob gathered in Jerusalem, executed injustice against Jesus, instigated by the chief priests and elders. They were able to direct the mob to be opinionated against Jesus and to imbue the feelings and emotions of hatred and abhorrence into the hearts of the people. The ignorant or less informed Jews, or the Jews once followed Jesus, turned to be his enemies now. What did Jesus do to them, worthy of their death sentence? See what the persuasion of the chief priests and elders did to the people. They became such people like lambs of God. Those individuals became monsters and murderers of Jesus. Everything was done in the name of God. So I must warn you, you can be even more wicked, even in Christian churches, than ever before, unless you are properly guided and molded, well built and founded on biblical truth, and as a result, you will be conformed to the image of Christ in your character. You can be even more wicked than ever before. You can be wicked, more wicked than Pilate. Never see that these people are just exceptions. Same thing can happen to us. Everything was done in the name of God. It is a danger of religious politics and of injustice by the power of the majority in number. I need to let you know that majority does not serve justice always. In fact, in many times, church history proves that majority has made wrong choices. There was injustice on the part of Pilate when he did not carry out his duty of dispensing justice. He yielded himself to fear and abandoned his duty of care. Jesus, the innocent being, was in the middle of a yelling crowd who wanted him to die. He was in the middle of his own people, but they did not know him. While they were turned against God, he used it as a favorable providence to provide a redeemer and savior for us. Truly, God does not make any mistake. However, at the end of the day, Pilate, with his power and office, failed to carry out justice and brought Jesus to the hands of the mob. God's redemption through his crucifixion does not justify the work of Pilate. He has been known as the person who sent the Lord to the cross. He is guilty of it. The Son of God fell into the hands of sinners. It is all for us. He suffered injustice for our justification. By knowing and understanding what happened on that day, I think it should give us a great challenge to examine our hearts, in our lives, how we are practicing what we believe, and how the Lord is demonstrating his own presence through us, whether we are in obedience to his commandments or whether we are conformed to the image of Christ Jesus every day. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, the Jews thought injustice as justice. They chose the murderer, desired the murderer, by rejecting the holy and just one. They are not just extraordinary people, they are just the people like us. Help us not to make the same simple decision on those crucial moments in our spiritual journey. Dear gracious Lord, help us to examine our hearts and our lives, and help us to understand the will of God at the same time, Lord. Help us to be in obedience to your holy will. Oh, dear gracious Lord, if there is any sin in our hearts, even in the name of God or spirituality or religion, dear gracious Lord, help us to be able to see those dark spots within us and help us repent of our sins. Help us not to repeat the same sin that the crowd on that day committed 2,000 years ago. Lord, we do thank you for our Savior Jesus, who suffered on our behalf. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.